Our reading tonight is Proverbs chapter 8, which is found on page 641 of the Bibles in the chairs in front of you. Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all humanity. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in the human race. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death.
Thank you, Kathy. Kathy? So, Proverbs 8, just a quick little question for you to ponder as we begin. If you had to rank these three for gold, silver, platinum, which order would you put them in terms of sort of most expensive and, most desirable in that respect? Well, I won't shout out. It's too late for that, isn't it, really? Order, gold, £1,600 per ounce. That's platinum, £700 per ounce, and silver, £18 per ounce. Gold, platinum, silver. What about this one? Diamonds, rubies, or emeralds? You up on your gemstones? What you need in your rings and that sort of stuff? Well, the answer again for that order is diamonds, rubies, emeralds. That's the order. So again, if you're going to the jewellers, that's what to look for. What about this one? Gold, diamonds, wisdom. Where does that rank? Gold, diamonds, wisdom. As we come to the passage this evening, that's really the question that we're being asked. Where does wisdom rank for you? Well, with that in mind, let's pray as we start. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's good. But Father, we pray tonight that we wouldn't simply know what we think we should do, but you may so encourage and inspire our hearts that we will long to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week in chapter 7, Nick was helping us to hear about folly, about trying just to unpack to see what folly really is like. That folly is the kind of the whisper in the ear that bids you come and follow. Well, today we have wisdom. But wisdom isn't a whisper in the ear. A whisper is shouting out loud. Look at verse 1. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Now, wisdom is not in the secret places. Wisdom is being declared to everybody to hear. Why? Verses 2 and 3. At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. She's in the public gate, in the public sphere, beside the gate leading to the city. At the entrance, she cries aloud. Wisdom wants everybody to know. Wisdom is not for some sort of secret handshake, just for some special club. No, wisdom is for everybody. Wisdom's for you. And if you doubt that, just look at verses 4 and 5. To you, O people, I call out, I raise my voice to mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. That you who are foolish, set your hearts on it. At this point, you're wondering, Ben, are you calling me simple? And I suppose yes and no. I mean, this is not to be taken offense at saying that we're simple people, but actually it's a healthy recognition to say that we don't ever think. If you're like me, then I assume that you've made mistakes that you wish you could change. That I assume that there are situations that you'd like to have back again. Then wisdom is for you. Wisdom's for you. Because wisdom, verse 6, is true. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to say what is right. During the evenings, I've been reading this book to William, Little Pilgrim's Progress. It's a fantastic, if you want to give a gift to a child, it's a fantastic book. It's lovely. It's beautifully written. It's a lovely book. And it also tells the story of Pilgrim's Progress, which, if you don't know, just a very quick sort of prese, is that it's a story of Christian who's going on a journey to the celestial city. And it's about his journey there, about the characters that he meets. They're very sort of unsubtle characters. He's called Christian. He meets good people like Hopeful. But also he meets somebody called the Flatterer. The Flatterer. And they've reached a point in their journey where there seems to be two paths before them. And they're not quite sure what to do. And this is, let me just quickly read to you this little bit. It says, I don't know which is right, said Christian. And they stood still to consider. Now the shepherds had given them a little map And if they'd looked at it, they would have seen at once which path to take. But instead of doing this, they began to waste their time by crossing the road from side to side, trying to find out for themselves which was the straighter of the two paths. Now, presently, a raccoon came up behind them. His face was dour and ugly, but he wore a white robe, and the children supposed that he was a pilgrim like them. "What's the matter?" he asked. "You seem to be puzzled." "Oh," replied Christian, "we're going to the king's city, and we cannot make out which of these paths is the right one." The raccoon laughed. "Is that all?" he said. "You need not look so troubled about it. I'm going to the celestial city myself. Follow me, and I'll show you the way." So without waiting to be sure the raccoon was really a pilgrim, Christian and Hopeful followed him. But soon they discovered their mistake. For instead of looking toward the celestial city, they find they were going backwards. And indeed, they were led into a net. The flatterer was dressed in a white robe, but really he was part of the wicked prince's army with black garments underneath. He wasn't telling the truth. He was lying, just as folly deceives. But wisdom is true. Do you remember Proverbs 3? "Lean not on your understanding, but trust the Lord, and in all ways he'll make your path straight." Wisdom leads to straight paths. Which is why verses 10 and 11 are true. "Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing can desire and compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence and possess knowledge and discretion." 10 and 11, sorry. "Choose my instruction instead of silver." I mean, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? If you were offered wisdom or winning the national lottery, which would you pick? I don't know about you, but sometimes you hear about those people who win the Euro Millions and they've won some ridiculous amount of money. And sometimes my mind just flits and thinking, oh, think of all the good things I could do with that. Gold, diamonds, wisdom. What would you pick? I mean, it's tempting, isn't it? I mean, life with money is easier. There are things you don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about bills. You don't have to have a job even if you've got that much money. Healthcare, oh, it's easier. I mean, we know that even in the West, life with resources is easier. But, wisdom leads you along right paths. Wisdom tells you what to do. You could have all the resources in the world, but be clueless as to what you should do. Wisdom leads princes and kings and governors. Verse 14, "Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight, I have power. By me, kings rule. And rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern. And nobles are all who rule on earth." Wisdom answers questions that money never could. It's far more precious than something so common as money. But secondly, it doesn't last. Diamonds, rubies don't last. Even if you had unlimited resources, it wouldn't last beyond the grave. I mean, what's the difference between the richest man of 200 years ago and the poorest man of 200 years ago? Yeah, nothing. This is a common illustration, which you've probably seen before. But we have our life here, which it could be a rope, it could be a toilet roll. And we sort of perceive that this is our life. So we have our beginning and the time we won the egg and spoon race and all those fun things, and then it kind of stops. But that's just naive. That's not life. No, life keeps going on and on and on. It broke, but you get the point. Goes on and on and on. I could walk down Holmes Avenue and keep going. I could keep going down Westway and far and far and down, couldn't you? And actually, our life is not just this little bit here. It might be our mortal years, but eternity? It's just foolish. See, pursuing wisdom is pursuing something which is an inheritance. In pursuing something which will last literally into eternity. It goes beyond the grave. And how do we know that? Well, verses 22 to 31. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths, I was there, given birth. When there was no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence. Rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. What does that mean? Well, as those who would have originally read Proverbs, they would have understood that wisdom was part of the created order. It wasn't something that was manufactured. It was sort of generated by being part of God himself. So to pursue wisdom is to pursue God himself. But it only adds a layer when we read these words from John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of mankind. Proverbs is declaring that wisdom has been there since the dawn of time. And we know that wisdom is found in the person of Jesus. And then just to really cement it, when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, he says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Has become for us wisdom from God. You will never regret pursuing wisdom, pursuing Christ. You'll never regret it. And how do we know that this wisdom is good for us? Well, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The wisdom of God led him to send his Son for you. So how can you ever doubt that following him is wrong? Folly is the flatterer that comes quietly, whispers in your ear and says, follow me this way. It may appear all sweetness and delight. It may be wrapped in white clothes, but it will lead you away. It will lead you back. Wisdom is for everybody. Wisdom is the straight path that leads you where you need to go. Wisdom is true. Wisdom is beautiful. Wisdom is clear. Wisdom is more precious than gold. So what does it mean to follow wisdom? Well, I guess for many of us, we've been pondering that all through Proverbs. Well, what does it mean for me to follow this? And to many extents, what I'm going to say is not going to particularly be radically different. But rather, I'm going to give you two questions to ask yourself. The first is to remember, what has Jesus done for me? What has he done? And as you play back those words that I'm a sinner saved by grace, that I'm one who's wandered away, who was lost but has now been found, who was blind but now can see. I was one who hated and spitted on my Saviour, but yet he, in his love, went and died for me. I am one who has been paid for. And there's nothing that I can do to move away from his love. What has he done for me? He has given me his life. How could choosing to follow him ever be a bad choice? Even if I know, actually, it might mean that other people reject me, that other people won't accept me. How can it ever be a bad choice? What has Jesus done? But then secondly, what would Jesus do? Now, I don't know if you were someone who ever had a bracelet that sort of said WWJD. I did in my teenage years and at university. And then I was at uni and I kind of, slightly piously sort of said, well, you know, we can't know what Jesus would do. He's the Son of God, I'm not. So to say what would Jesus do is a bit sort of simple and not very helpful. And that's kind of true. You know, we're not the Son of God. I have no idea if Jesus was to walk the streets of Hove, what exactly he would do. But on the other hand, filling my head with even asking that question surely cannot be a bad thing. Walking into a situation thinking, Lord, what would be the wise thing to do in this situation? Surely can't be a bad question to ask. What would Jesus do? Although I won't get the answer right, surely even thinking about it will help me to lead along a good path. Those two simple questions, what has Jesus done? Reminding us of our identity. But then what would Jesus do? Will help us to lead, to walk along those straight paths. Wisdom's call is calling out to us all. It's not secret, it's not hidden. It's saying, come, follow me. And we know that call is coming from none other than our Saviour. So will you remember what Jesus has done for you? And will you think, what would I do? What would my Saviour do? How can I walk wisdom's path today? Let me pray. Father, we pray, Lord, that you may help us to not simply know what we ought to do, Lord, but you would change our hearts, that you would help us to see our Saviour, to see that choosing to follow you is always the right and good thing, that wisdom is true and beautiful and clear and eternal. Father, may you so incline our hearts that we long to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.